Welcome to the URJ's Parenting Podcast. This is Wendy Grinberg, Parenting Specialist, and today we'll hear from Dr. Wendy Mogul, internationally known clinical psychologist, public speaker, and author. In this segment, entitled Dead Goldfish, Dr. Mogul tackles the tough question of how to talk to young children about death.
A mom came into my office seeking guidance about how to handle the aftermath of the death of her son's goldfish, Goldie. Apparently, Goldie died while 6-year-old Noah was at school. Mom rushed to the pet store with dead Goldie in a plastic bag, hoping to find a clone. But when Noah arrived home, he was immediately skeptical. Mom, where's Goldie? He demanded. And how did this other fish get in the bowl? Whatever do you mean? Asked Mom. Noah continued with his CSI-worthy investigation, but his voice was now a little shaky. Mom, Goldie had a little white stripe above her tail. This fish has a big white stripe. You always tell me to tell the truth, Mom. What happened to Goldie? Later the same day, I met with Carolyn, a mom with a different question. Carolyn was planning to take her two children, Ella, age 9, and Trevor, age 6, to Chicago for the funeral of their 94-year-old paternal great-grandmother, Franny. Carolyn had never been to a Jewish funeral. How might she prepare the children? What would happen there? And how to talk to them about death? Would they be afraid? Talking about Noah, Goldie, Carolyn, Ella, and Trevor, I realized that when adults are worried and puzzled about death, they imagine children will be even more so. It makes it difficult to know what to say and to do. In times past, children came into contact with death frequently. Our ancestors were nomads, shepherds. The sheep gave birth, the sheep died. People were born and died at home. Children learned in the natural laboratory of life. Today, children's introduction to death commonly comes from the media. They learn that death is reversible, like in cartoons, or violent and bloody, like on television and in video games. What they see is exaggerated for effect and rarely intimate or tender. When relatives die, more than half are hooked up to machines in hospitals. Children are not permitted to visit. The phrase Zichrono Livracha captures the Jewish perspective on death. You've heard or seen the abbreviation Z'L after a printed name. It means may his memory be for a blessing, here, now, today. In Jewish tradition, we focus more on deeds and concrete actions than on creed, professions of faith. So instead of offering the comforting potential of a big reunion in the sky, we seek to transform the memory of the deceased into a blessing by carrying on their traits in this world. We are obligated to honor loved ones through actions, typically tzedakah, giving to their favorite charity, but also by making very specific efforts to honor them in the specific ways that they honored those around them. How to do this? How does a 6-year-old carry on a blessing? First, by stopping to reflect, to give thought to naming the qualities of the person who has died, to describe their neshama, or spirit. This is how we make a person a blessing. We carry on their sweet or strong or colorful or witty ways or their talents and knowledge and skills so that other people can experience the same pleasure we did in knowing them. So they will be blessed too. In this way, death becomes a form of continued energy. I suggested that Carolyn might ask young Trevor to dictate a eulogy. Tell me all the things you remember about Nana Franny. How would you describe her to someone who had never met her? Do you think you're like her in some ways, Trevor? How can our family carry on the Nana Franny tradition? I suggested dictation so that if Trevor's penmanship fell behind the speed of his thoughts, he wouldn't be slowed down or frustrated. At the funeral itself, he could choose to stand up and read what he had dictated, to have a parent read it, or to keep the eulogy as a private keepsake, one that he could share with his own children one day. I later learned what had emerged from the brainstorming session. Every time Nana Franny visited, she gave Ella and Trevor rolls of butter rum lifesavers, two each, one for you and one for a friend if you like, or two for you. She smelled very pretty, and she could make a great variety of animal noises. The blessings, the power of small but thoughtful gifts, the appeal of keeping yourself nice and clean, and that when people are uninhibited, they can provide entertainment to those around them. What about Goldie? Mom fessed up to Noah, and a frank conversation about the fish's passing led to a larger conversation about death, which led to the mother's realization that she was still unmoored and very sad about the recent death of her uncle from a heart attack. It hit her that her, oh no, Goldie too, reaction was more about her own distress than an accurate barometer of what Noah was feeling. They talked a bit more. Turns out that Noah wasn't particularly scared about the death of pets or people, but he was terribly curious. His pressing question, what happens to a person's body when it's in the ground? Mom did some research. Okay, Noah, here's the story. Two-thirds of the body is water, which evaporates when you die. One-third is bones, which decompose in approximately 10 to 12 years, depending on the size of the person, the conditions of the ground in which it lays, and the type of casket it's buried in. For Jews, it's always a plain pine box. What's the right age for these conversations? Whenever they ask, your matter-of-fact but reassuring answers will be welcome. And just like talks about where babies come from, or later, how does the sperm get into the egg? You answer simply the question put before you, but revisit the topic in different contexts whenever it comes up. For good resources, I recommend The Tenth Good Thing About Barney by Judith Viorst, a classic book about a small boy whose cat dies, and also the book A Candle for Grandpa, in which Jewish funeral practices are explained from the perspective of an 11-year-old boy on the first anniversary of his grandfather's death. See also the Q&A with Rabbi Edith Held Mensher on talking to children about death on the URJ website. Thank you for listening to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. You can find links to the resources Dr. Mogul mentioned today by clicking through to her page from the Parenting Podcast homepage. Subscribe to the podcast, let us know what you think, and find more resources at urj.org/parent.